H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The FAA has been warning about a shortage of air traffic controllers, something that could snarl airline traffic this Thanksgiving holiday travel week. If you're planning to fly into or out of Charlotte's airport in North Carolina, you could run into a different problem as well.
Overnight, Charlotte airport workers actually went on strike just days before Thanksgiving, so they're calling it Strikesgiving. Charlotte is one of the major hubs for American Airlines, so this could potentially affect that airline. 1 million passengers are expected to fly through Charlotte this week alone.
ABC Transportation correspondent Jill Benitez. Over a dozen people missing after a tourist cruise vessel sank in the Red Sea overnight. High demand for today's hearing on whether the process should begin of letting the Menendez brothers out of prison. Eric and Lyle Menendez killed their parents in 1989. Some in Los Angeles argue they deserve to be released based on good behavior and new evidence in their case. Donald Trump has chosen his new cabinet and named many of those who will play key roles in his next administration. This is ABC News. Grimway Farms now says its carrots are safe to eat. The California-based farm was at the center of a deadly E. coli outbreak, according to ABC's Melissa Adan.
California-based Grimway Farms, a supplier to Trader Joe's, Wegmans, and Kroger, expanding a voluntary recall after several of their products were linked to a deadly E. coli outbreak. One person died, while 39 others have been sickened, 15 of them hospitalized. The company's president and CEO speaking directly to shoppers, saying consumers should feel confident that the carrots available for purchase on store shelves today are safe.
In South Korea, a final round of talks are underway this week to discuss what to do about curbing plastic pollution. The United Nations representatives from the plastics industry and a slew of delegations from around the world are trying to iron out a legally binding agreement. Experts say 400 million tons of plastic waste is produced every year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I've got a kid probably heading off to college in about a year and a half, and I'm doing everything I can to help her build her credit score. Now, one of the tips I was very excited to put into practice is adding my daughter as an authorized user on my most perfectly paid off credit card account. The idea here is that credit card companies report the payment histories of everyone with a card in their name, including the authorized users. That way, your kid benefits from your good credit habits and the length of your credit history and gets a boost to their credit score right out of the gate. Now, the rub is that not all card issuers report all this info, so it's essential to check with your card and make sure they report. And remember, this goes both ways. Good credit behavior boosts scores, but any slip-ups like missed payments or late payments, that hurts them. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Packers clobber the 49ers. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a decisive 38-10 win over the 49ers. Green Bay led by running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns. Was there something special he said in the huddle?
Man, I was just told him to give me the ball. Really, but nah, man, I think we went in with a great scheme. I think, you know, it's been a big point of emphasis in this building. It's trying to be an area to grow in and be better in, so... It's good when you know that you've been putting in hard work all week, and it's paying off.
The Packers rushed for 125 yards in the first half and dominated the time of possession. 49ers linebacker Fred Warner.
Yeah, no, that's about as bad as it can get. Probably the worst I've been a part of. We just didn't make the plays we needed to.
Basketball, the Badgers beat Pittsburgh 81-75 to win their tournament in Orlando and remain undefeated. The Bucks are on their way to play the Miami Heat in Florida tomorrow night. The Bucks have now won 4 in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Oftentimes after an election, regardless of which party won, people say they are leaving America. It's usually an emotional knee-jerk reaction, but Ellen DeGeneres is actually leaving. The talk show host says she is not only headed to the UK due to the election results a couple weeks ago, but she is also quitting show business. No one is happier to hear this than those who work for her. Lady Gaga's new song, Die With a Smile, is the fastest ever to reach 1 billion streams on Spotify. The song, which was a collaboration with Bruno Mars, has also picked up two Grammy nominations, all this on the heels of the announcement that Gaga will headline at next year's Coachella Festival. That ought to help her get that horrible Joker 2 taste out of her mouth. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Light snow will continue this morning, tapering off this afternoon with about another inch or so possible by the time it winds down. Falling temperatures, too. We're going to drop into the mid-20s by late this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, 16 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and a bit colder with a high of only 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and welcome to Civic Media Mornings. You may have been thinking that you were going to hear Pat Kreitlow's beautiful voice, but instead, you get me, and of course, the incredible Greg Bach, filling in for Pat as of 5 o'clock this morning. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. How are you today?
It's Monday.
Yep. There's no getting around the fact that it's Monday. It is, in fact, Monday.
It is kind of a great Monday, though, because I don't know if you watched the Packer game yesterday, but I was feeling a little nervous going into it, even knowing that the 49ers had a bunch of injuries and Brock Purdy was out. But there is something about the 49ers that just makes me feel so uncomfortable. Maybe it's the last couple of games where they have crushed the end of our season.
Well, I mean, their 5-5 record was making me feel comfortable with the fact that I felt like the Packers could really come in there and do the work that they ended up doing last night, which was really reassuring. It was a solid. I didn't get to watch. I got to watch the game through the reflection in a window because we were out to dinner with family and the game was on. So it was distracting. So I was kind of watching it through. But I mean, I really felt like the Packers had a hold of that game from start to finish. It was just a good, clean, finally a good, clean victory versus like last week at the Bears. You're like, a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were really surprised. I think people were feeling a little like, what are the Packers actually going to do after last week's game? But this was really reassuring. And then also the Bears and the Vikings, that was fun.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but it would have been more fun if the Bears had won.
Well, I mean, I'll take either or. To me, when either lose, I win. That's fine.
But the Vikings are doing well.
I know. Yeah. But I just, yeah. I did like hearing the news that I guess Aaron Rodgers' time in New York is coming to an end.
Oh, do tell. Because I keep hearing things out there, like maybe he's going to go to the Giants or, you know, there are all these parody accounts, so I don't know what's real and what's not. So set us straight.
I've just heard the rumors that he said his time in there is coming to an end. With all the firings they've done, that's just not really taken off. No pun intended on the plane pun. People say, oh, he should just do like what Brett Favre does and goes to the Vikings. I'm like, I don't think the Vikings want him. Mm-hmm. And I think he should go to the Bears. Just make it complete. So,
I think the Bears might have something. This is it's always a rebuilding year with the Bears. But I mean, they've got some good components here if they can just stick with it and develop it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how good they do. And because they've been rebuilding since like 1987. So,
1983.
But guess who, we right off the bat at 7 o'clock hour, we got our good friend. Excuse me, as I cough, I have to like clear my throat before I properly introduce Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I am fantastic. I was just loving your football talk because I did get to see that Bears game. And oh my gosh, they came back out of nowhere in that onside kick, which is like a 2% probability. That was pretty cool. But the Bears are terrible. I mean, they do need Rodgers. There's a quarterback curse, although he'll probably fail if he goes there. I mean, honestly, right?
And one can only hope.
You're not coming at this like a Packer fan. You are coming at this like a Bears fan?
Am I? No. So I grew up, here's my little story. So I grew up a Bears fan. I'm from Chicago, obviously. So that was ingrained in me, and, you know, the 85 Bears and all of that. And I never saw those 85 Bears growing up. So,
so you missed the Bears rap?
I did.
Man.
So sad.
Ain't here to cause no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. Can you cue that one up, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, no. All my technology is failing me right now, Dr. Lyerly. What is going on? It's like my studio is rejecting.
Those were good times back in the day.
Brittany,
So Brittany, you had
a good weekend. You watched some football. What else did you do this weekend?
Oh, really? Honestly, just watched football. Catched up on life.
Amazing.
And chores and stayed in.
Yeah.
Laid low.
That's
awesome. What?
That's amazing. Anytime I ask an adult, what did you do this weekend? And they said nothing. I am so jealous.
It felt like a nothing weekend, though, didn't it? And I think, honestly, and this is not just because Brittany's here, but the weather kind of laid that out for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a little bit of sunshine, at least in the Green Bay area on Saturday. But yesterday was so wah-wah.
Yeah, it really... And I had to, like, I had the day off. The only thing I had to do was have dinner with my family. It was my mom's 80th birthday this week, so we all got together this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, and we all hung out, which was great. And I had a great time. But even before that, I was like, I just want a day off where I don't have to go anywhere. And because I work a lot. So, but that's my problem. Not anyone else's problem. I almost called you Dr. Merlot.
I love that. Almost.
The weather doctor.
DJ Flipmix / Dr. Merlot. Brittany, what do we have weather-wise today and through the holiday week, if you could tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. So up north, Northwoods, you're seeing some light snowfall. You've seen a wintry mix. Roads are a little dicey up towards the Shawamigan National Forest and towards Eagle River area. We're also seeing some misty fog by Lake Michigan and kind of inland into the Fox Valley. That's kind of good because we're above freezing in those areas, so there are no slick and slippery spots. Road conditions are good. And as we go through this afternoon, we'll start to see some light rain showers throughout the state on occasion, very light, on and off. But up north, another 2 to 5 inches of snowfall is possible into the Northwoods and especially the Snow Belt and into the UP. So they're getting a nice base for hopefully this winter of some snowmobiling because that lake effect snow machine is turning on even hardcore as we go through the next few days. We've got this cold front that's moving through this afternoon. So it will be dropping our temperatures below freezing for the rest of the week for a good part of the northern half of the state. Our temperatures are really plummeting. Further south, you will still hover into those mid and upper 30s for tomorrow and into Wednesday. But by Wednesday night and into Thanksgiving on Thursday, we are seeing another cold front push through. So by Black Friday, our highs are only going to be in the mid 20s statewide.
Oh my gosh.
And that means overnight lows in the teens. Mm-hmm. So two cold pushes, one today, one right around Thanksgiving. And then, of course, some snowfall. If you are traveling south and out of the state towards Illinois, we are looking at some snow Wednesday into northern Illinois. So keep that in mind. Those roads are probably going to be a little dicey, but for us, it's pretty much the lake effect well north or that snow Wednesday into Illinois.
Are either of you doing any traveling for Thanksgiving this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to the Milwaukee area.
Oh, wow. Well, then. Look at you. Always in Milwaukee.
We're coming to your place.
There's going to be great shows this weekend at the Laughing Tap. So if you're in Milwaukee over the weekend, I will not be there, so you can't see me. I'm sorry.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Indiana to visit family. So we got Indiana relatives in the South Bend area, and we do it up with them. We leave Friday and then come back the weekend. I get 5 days off this week. I'm taking off as of Wednesday. I'm out of here until the following Tuesday, and I don't even know what to do with myself.
You will find things.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's just a lot of sleeping in. I just want to sleep. So that's all I really, really care about. And Brittany, you said are you going back home to with family?
Yeah, so I'll be headed down towards Chicago area for family and stuff like that. And then my birthday is right after that. And I don't know. I might just take a plane and go somewhere. So we'll see what happens. But
Brittany, when's your birthday?
It's Tuesday, the 2nd. Or Monday. Brittany. Oh my gosh, that's Monday, the 2nd. Yes.
Brittany, we have the same birthday.
We do.
Yes.
Stop. Get Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Do you know who else has our birthday, Greg?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Well, cool. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Two out of three ain't
also,
bad.
Also, another very famous Britney.
Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We have the best birthday.
I was going to say, December babies are the best babies. My birthday is like the 12th. So, you know, we can all get together and hang out.
This is like a Sagittarius fest right now.
Yes. if that is something you do, sure. Okay. before you go, Brittany, we of course have Rob from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. Hey. 33 degrees and cloudy. He said he's going to be going to Minnesota to his cousin's funeral on Monday, December the 2nd. That's right. Rob did tell us that he did lose a very close family member last week. And our hearts and our love goes out to you, Rob, and your family. Please, please travel safe on your way to Minnesota next week. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Brittany, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same bat station. I shouldn't say that's probably copyrighted, but we're happy to have you here.
Be here. Yeah. Can't wait. You guys enjoy your day.
Thanks, Brittany.
Have a great day.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So, yeah.
That's so crazy that we have the same birthday because Aaron Zommers also has the same birthday.
The 2nd of December?
True story.
Did you have to be born in December to get a job at Civic Media? I mean, geez. My goodness.
You have a job at Civic Media? I just show up on Mondays with my coffee to spread some cheer.
You do that. You do that very, very well, Doctor. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings with the wonderful Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN/ Chief Morale Officer here. I think that's your job here at Civic Media, is bringing all the sunshine when you come and visit all of us. You're actually going to be on Matt and Aaron Air today as well.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I better do my research.
Glad I could remind you. All right.
I hadn't looked at my calendar because, you know, it's been a little bit of a chaotic morning. But yeah, and we are going to talk about some of the crazy stuff that's happening in the OBGYN world, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's a huge part of what I do, obviously, but it affects so many of the other things in people's lives. Like, we're going to talk about the Maternal Mortality Review Committee in Georgia that was disbanded after it was leaked that these two women died unnecessarily because of political reasons. And this is just another situation where politicians are trying to control science outcomes to their own advantage. Like, you don't get to control science. Science is science, and that's the beauty of it. It's subjective, and it teaches us things, and it helps us make decisions. And when politicians get their fingers into science and try to manipulate it for their own purposes, that's really scary stuff. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about.
Definitely. And that's the thing, you know, that's one of the great things about having you on the show, whatever show I'm working on, is always I'm learning about these things and expanding my knowledge base on it. Cause I'm like, I'm pro choice. I'm for a woman's right to choose. But then you learn, you get deeper into all of the minutia of it all and all the details, and you realize that these have bigger impact. But we're going to be talking more about that with you on Matt and Aaron Air, I believe at 11:06. We're going to take a break right now, but we're going to come right back. So you're listening to Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and my name is Greg Box. Stick around, stay tuned, stay close.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Deer Hunters Roundup is back on WBZH. Hi, everybody. Join me, Joel Karnick, along with Greg Gunderson and a cast of thousands. It's live and it's local. Tune in starting this Saturday, November 23rd at 6 p.m. live right here on the Buzz of the North. You can call, text, or email with your deer hunting camp info. We're giving away thousands of dollars in prizes, so don't miss it. This is a live show with your calls and stories. The Deer Hunters Roundup, live and local, weeknight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. during the 9-day gun deer season right here on the Buzz of the North.
Christmas when we were growing up was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Sagittarius Sunrise with me, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Greg Bach. And actually, this is Civic Media Mornings, which you might also be expecting to hear the groove doctor, Pat Kreitlow. Yacht rock doctor, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to call him that forever now.
The groove doctor. Oh my gosh, but Pat is he's off this morning. He's not feeling so well. So yeah. Greg and I are spontaneously taking over in a very Monday-like fashion. And here we are.
Here we
are. Talking about all the things.
Talking about all the things going on. And one of the things you said you wanted to discuss, Dr. Lyerly, that was important. And we've been talking about this on really all the shows here on Civic Media. And a lot of people just still don't really understand, which is rural hospital closures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening all over the place. And most recently, just last week, we found out that Waupaca is closing their obstetrical unit for what appears to be a nursing shortage. They've also struggled in the past to find physicians to work there. Of course, finances are a huge, huge consideration. Late, I guess, in October, Medford also lost their obstetrical unit for similar reasons. We're seeing this all over the state, really all over the country. Wisconsin has lost over half of their rural obstetrical units in the last 20 years. And, you know, this sounds like, well, then you just have to drive a little further to have your baby. But when you live in a rural community, and the thing between you and the hospital is 45 minutes of highway, and you live in Wisconsin, and it's January, it's dicey.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody who's had a baby in the past knows things can move pretty quickly. We've definitely had people deliver on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, come in with a baby in their hands. It's a traumatic experience. You know, I mean, that's one problem with it. Mm-hmm. But another problem is in these communities, when you lose your labor and delivery unit, you don't have a place that is welcoming, a welcoming environment for young families.
Yeah.
And when young families choose not to live in places like Waupaca and Medford, that really denies a community the vibrancy that young families bring along with it, the small businesses and the schools and all of that. It becomes an economic issue. And it also becomes a medical issue for the older population. When your population is aging and requires more attention from the medical community, but you're struggling to maintain doctors, you have a harder time getting access for other problems like diabetes care and heart failure and routine preventive care. It really does start to become a death spiral for many of these small communities. And so it's so important that we invest and ensure that we've got all of this care that cares for everybody in our communities, and we do it in a really smart and efficient way. And that's just not happening right now, Greg.
Well, one of the things that, you know, you touched on just now, but you said a long time ago when we were talking about this, was the notion of baby born on the side of a road, the story being told, like, you know, people like, oh, my mom had me on the side of a road. And you said, while those are very, you know, I don't want to say fun stories, but they're like, they're interesting. People go, oh, wow, you were. That actually is more indicative of the fact that you don't have access to healthcare. That's why you were probably born on the side of the road. And since then, I've always thought about that example when it comes to hospital closures, especially in the rural areas. And when we lost the two hospitals this year in Western Wisconsin, one of the things that I feel like hasn't been spoken about enough is we lost two hospitals in Western Wisconsin. We also lost 19 clinics. There were 19 clinics shut down as well. And that is a lot of access to a lot of different healthcare options for individuals. And it is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was nearly 1,500 jobs altogether between all of them. Mm-hmm. And that's devastating for a community and its economy. As you were just saying, like, it, you know, not even the fact of, like, if I'm moving to Wapaka, maybe I'm a nurse or a doctor. Am I going to move there if there's no job? No, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, the fact that we don't, that we're closing down hospitals is, I don't want to say, it's not even a shame. It's terrible. We need to have these places for people to get what they need as far as healthcare options. And also too, the outreach for the older folks, the elderly who need their medication, who need their regular checkups. It's, we should not be closing hospitals. We should be opening hospitals.
I just honestly don't understand, as a mom and a physician and a human who lives in this world, how we devalue medical care so much, because we all need it. I mean, it's like highways and sewers. This is something that we, it's not like you can live without medical care. So I don't know, well, Greg.
I mean, honestly, you are a doctor, so you have a unique perspective. I'm not one, and I have a unique perspective as far as, like, being someone who, I go to the doctor when I absolutely have to. I get my checkup, I get my physical.
Yes, you do.
Yes,
thank
I do.
You.
I did do that. But also, I feel like that industry, the corporate industry of hospitals and medicine, know that we'll go if we need it, mm-hmm. and we'll travel if we have to. And if we don't, it sounds callous, but it's not their concern entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the money piece of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth is that when we have to travel further, we get less care and we have worse outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at the big picture, and I've said this so many times, we live in the wealthiest nation on earth, where we have the most expensive healthcare, not by a little, but by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the worst outcomes amongst all of our peer countries, especially for moms and babies.
Yeah.
And this is all part of the problem. People can't afford care. They can't get to care. I can't tell you the number of people I've taken care of who don't have a car. So they can't get to their appointments. They can't get to the hospital. They arrive by ambulance because there's no other way for them to get there. And I mean, try finding an ambulance in some of these rural outlying areas. When I'm up in northern Minnesota, my nurses spend hours calling different ambulance services, trying to get our patients transferred to a higher level of care. And a lot of these ambulance services are volunteer run. So thank you to those of you who serve your community by taking care of each other. Don't know what we would do without you.
As a conversation, of course, we keep going, but we got coming up next, in the next segment, we have Jeff Mendel from Law 4 will be joining us. And please stick around. We are going to take a short break, but you're listening to Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And my name is Greg Bach. Don't go anywhere. Stay close.
The
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Well, we've got a little taste of winter around Wisconsin, but what can we expect from here on out? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. We'll give you an answer from our state climatologist next.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Steve Vavris is our Wisconsin State climatologist. He's only been on staff for a short period of time, and he's been working ahead to try to come up with a forecast for Wisconsin's winter this year. Hard part, he says, is uncertainty.
The latest forecast or outlook is showing from NOAA, National Weather Service, is no real indication in terms of temperature, whether it will be unusually warm or unusually cold. They're saying equal chances of a warm, cold, or near normal winter. So that doesn't give as much to go by. On the other hand, it is indicating that for the Great Lakes states, including Wisconsin, that chances are elevated for a wet winter. And that's especially true in the eastern half of Wisconsin. That could mean more snow. It could mean more rain. It could mean more rain and snow. It just depends on what the temperatures are like coming up.
So in other words, wait and see. That's Steve Vavris, our Wisconsin state climatologist, with his initial forecast on Wisconsin's winter.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
And pizza giant Domino's recognizes how important production agriculture is and how important agriculture educators are to production agriculture. That's why they've launched a special campaign with the FFA, providing $100,000 in scholarships for college students that are pursuing careers as ag science teachers. They're going to award 10 $10,000 scholarships to high school seniors or college students pursuing that role. Application period is open and will continue until January 9th, 2025. That's a quick look at what's happening in food news on a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Light snow will continue this morning, tapering off this afternoon with about another inch or so possible by the time it winds down. Falling temperatures, too. We're going to drop into the mid-20s by late this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, 16 tomorrow, partly cloudy and a bit colder with a high of only 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels turns down a Trump cabinet position. Is he lazy or just against divesting? Also, MTG claims subpoena power. Who's she coming after? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. We've got Greg Bach reminding us of Pat Kreitlow by playing a little bit of, you know, the yacht rock style. And we are incredibly fortunate this morning to be here with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Jeff, welcome. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Thanks for having me so early.
Yeah, well, thanks for being up and so bright and cheerful on a cloudy, gloomy Monday.
It's going to be a great day.
There it is. I love that. I love that. A little bit of reality from Dr. Lyerly. It's going to be a great day. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
It is going to be a great day because the work that you're doing is so important and so anticipated. I think we've all been hoping something like this was going to happen. Tell us a little bit about Michael Gableman and where things are at with his situation and what you're doing related to that.
Well, it is the season of accountability is coming to Wisconsin, and that's really important. As you say, Kristen, we've been waiting a long time for this. Just to recap for listeners, Michael Gableman is a former member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which makes him sound like a very serious person, but he is actually the only thing that's serious is how unethical and hyper-partisan he has been. In 2020, as soon as the election was over, Michael Gableman was speaking at rallies, claiming without any basis that the election was stolen. And yet months later, when President Trump leaned on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to create an investigation of the 2020 election, although we all knew what happened in the 2020 election. There was a free, fair, full election in Wisconsin, and Trump lost. But he couldn't accept that. He leaned on Speaker Voss to create an investigation, and Speaker Voss hired Michael Gableman to run that investigation. Gableman started off by announcing he didn't know anything about election law, and then he went on essentially to prove it. He consistently lied to the legislature, to the public, to people he was investigating. He failed to meet the minimum standard of competency for lawyers. He pursued frivolous litigation. He abused legal processes to harass elected officials and others he disagreed with politically. And he violated every sentence of the oath attorneys take. Almost 21 months ago now, at the end of that investigation, Law Forward filed a massive omnibus grievance with the Office of Lawyer Regulation, which is the office here in Wisconsin that enforces attorney ethics. And last week, finally, that office concluded its own investigation and filed a major complaint with the Wisconsin Supreme Court against Michael Gableman. And that's the beginning of the process of actually enforcing those ethical rules and holding him to account.
Accountability feels so good after having lived through all of this and knowing, I mean, how many court cases showed that the 2020 election was, as you said, free and fair. Yet we were living this nightmare here in Wisconsin for so long with this unlikely character. I mean, to have a Supreme Court, former Supreme Court justice carrying the water here, and for the people of Wisconsin to be paying for this effort is an absolute nightmare. So it's so nice to be on the other side of it. Where does it go from here? It's been filed. So now what happens?
So this complaint by the Office of Lawyer Regulation is like any other civil lawsuit. So it has been filed, and Mr. Gableman will be served with a copy. He will have the opportunity, right? A legal complaint is a set of factual allegations. And so he will have the opportunity to say either, yes, these allegations are true, or to contest them. The Supreme Court appoints what they call a referee, which is basically a lawyer or a retired judge, someone who will act as the fact finder here, who will play the role of a trial court judge But we don't do it in a trial court. We do it in this private process. It's kind of like an arbitrator. So if Mr. Gabelman chooses to contest these allegations, then there will be an evidentiary hearing before the referee. And at the end of that, the referee will write a report to the Supreme Court that says, these are my findings. This is what I believe happened. And these are my recommendations for what the consequences should be. And the Supreme Court has the final say on what those consequences are. And that will be the process. It could take anywhere from several months to another year, year and a half, depending on how much Mr. Gabelman chooses to drag this out. But as you say, it's been a long time. The consequences for the state, sort of the follow-on effects from this, have been significant. We've seen so much continued election denial. And the cost to the taxpayers have been significant. The taxpayers spent almost $2.5 million on the Gabelman investigation. And there's another $500,000 or so in legal fees that the state legislature owes to American Oversight, which is an organization that uses open records law and things like that to expose wrongdoing. And one of the myriad things that Mr. Gabelman did wrong is he did not abide by Wisconsin's open records law when he was conducting this work ostensibly on behalf of the legislature. And he was told quite clearly that he was personally responsible for making sure that he and everyone who worked with him followed the open records law. And they pretty deliberately did not follow that law. And so as a result, American Oversight had asked for a bunch of documents and things. And because those documents either weren't available because they weren't preserved properly or because they were deliberately destroyed so American Oversight couldn't get their hands on them, American Oversight gets to recover its legal fees and things. That's about another $500,000. There were several lawsuits.
Wow. And the impact, as you said earlier, for the people of Wisconsin is financial. But maybe more importantly, it's the undermining of our election process, which is so secure here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, when you look at how decentralized it is and how it's literally our neighbors who are there administering our elections and watching and making sure that they are and they will be free and fair. It's so disheartening. It's so not Wisconsin. I think that's one of the biggest problems. As I've watched this all evolve, it's been really shocking to see that, again, a former Supreme Court justice would behave in this way and be so fundamentally unethical. What do you anticipate from the Gabelman side as this case continues to move forward?
Well, I anticipate continued lying and misdirection. You know, the last count in this complaint is about Mr. Gabelman lying to the Office of Lawyer Regulation as they investigated our grievance. And the lie that he told the Office of Lawyer Regulation is a particularly galling one, and one I expect him to continue to double down on, which is he says, oh, no, I wasn't acting as a lawyer. When I was the special counsel for the legislature, well, counsel was just sort of an honorary title. And I wasn't acting as a lawyer in any way, shape, or form. So these rules, they didn't apply to me at that time. This is, of course, complete nonsense. Number one, he was acting as a lawyer. He was opining both to the public and to the legislature about what the law means and how it should be enforced. Number two, lawyers are bound by their oaths in all parts of their conduct.
If you're just joining us right now, we're speaking with Jeff Mandel. He is the general counsel for Law Forward, talking about the complaint that has been filed against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman. And really, I mean, there's almost a movie-esque quality to to what he did. I mean, there is allegations that he was threatening elected officials with taking property. He sounds like he really likes Westerns and he wants to be a lone gunman who just go in and, you know, fix whatever. But really, he kind of just made it worse because, as Dr. Liley said, sowed those seeds of disbelief in the election process when the very man who appointed him, very Republican, very conservative, Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, said the 2020 election was safe and secure, and that had consequences of its own, getting him recalled twice in about 3 months. Are there any, I mean, as far as like those, you know, his threatening elected officials, are those parts of the complaint, or is that just fodder for the stories?
No, that is part of the complaint. And as you say, there's something sort of epic or almost cinematic about this whole thing. I mean, keep in mind, as I said before, as soon as he was appointed, he publicly said he knew almost nothing about Wisconsin election law. He then spent the first couple of weeks at the New Berlin Public Library at a public computer terminal Googling about election law, and followed that up with these taxpayer-funded junkets, first to South Dakota to go to one of the MyPillow Mike Lindell conspiracy symposiums, and then to Arizona to see in person the Cyber Ninjas audit. If you remember that, that's the one where they were looking for bamboo in the... This is all so far back, and I know many people have tried to repress some of this. As you note, Greg, he, in the midst of this, it's not about... he tried to have the mayors of Green Bay and Madison thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. And he did so. He asked a court in Waukesha County to throw them in jail without telling them that he was doing this and without giving them a chance to defend themselves, and while omitting really, really essential facts that any judge would want to know, because his theory was they should be thrown in jail for not obeying a subpoena where he had said that they needed to come testify. But he had told us, right? Law Forward represented the city of Green Bay and the mayor of Green Bay. We had agreed that if we gave them 22,000 pages of documents, that there would be no need for testimony. Then when the mayor didn't show up to testify on the date that he had specified, he went secretly to a court and tried to have the mayor thrown in jail. I mean, this is really, really crazy, well beyond the pale kind of stuff, and certainly not the way that we expect any lawyer to act, much less a former Supreme Court justice or someone who's representing the taxpayers and the public.
It's so wild. It feels like a parody. Like the more you say, the more I'm like, really? Really? How did we not know about this? Or were we just not paying attention?
I think people were, burnt out. Remember, this was late 2021 and early 2022. And I think we were all just exhausted and wanted the 2020 election to be over. Understandably.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as we've discussed this morning, in no small part due to Mr. Gabelman's efforts, the 2020 election still has repercussions in Wisconsin. There has been this tremendous effort to undermine the integrity of our, the belief, the faith in our elections, which, as you noted earlier, are conducted by our friends and our neighbors. Wisconsin has safe, secure elections. Sometimes the candidates you like win and sometimes they don't. But we have good, clean elections here in Wisconsin.
Well, we sure do.
Jeff,
I was just going to say, thank you so much for being here, for the work that you're doing, for holding him accountable for this behavior. Because without you, he already has run roughshod all over the state and all over the people. But by ensuring that there are consequences to this kind of behavior, hopefully we won't see it in the future. So grateful to you.
That's our hope. Thanks for having me. Yeah. And let us hope that, that this is the beginning of some accountability in Wisconsin and other people who are also trying to impugn our elections, that more accountability is coming. That's one of the things Law Forward will be doing. And it's one of my hopes for the coming year.
Well, Jeff, we thank you for being here. And you have to come back to give us updates as it's going along. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have the incomparable Jane Matinere, host of Matinere on Air, joining us. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs.
You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, joined by Greg Bach on the board. And guess what? We've got the music just foretells it. Jane Matinair is with us.
Good morning. That it always freaks me out when I hear that music. I'm like, oh my God, what time is it? It's 10 o'clock. No, it's not 10 o'clock. It's 10 to 8. But
are you a morning person?
I am not really a morning person, no. I would say
well,
no.
Well, today you are.
Yes. And actually, since we've moved down to a Radio Park here in Racine, I have been a morning person. I have freeway phobia, and I hate driving on the freeway, especially when it's dark. So I leave really early. So I take the most circuitous route to get here in order to avoid freeways as much as humanly possible.
I love this visual of the two of you because we've got Greg sitting at the board and then Jane standing behind Greg. And it's like, I don't know, there's something really cute and campy about it.
It should be like, you put a quarter in my head and she pops out.
Yeah, exactly. All kinds of potential here.
We could take like a really cheesy Sears photo, just looking off in the distance.
That's kind of look like that.
This is encouraging people to watch the live stream every day because we do fun things like this. So.
It's true. Yeah. It's always fun. Yeah. And so what kind of fun is coming up? We're going to be together later this morning.
We are. You're going to join the show at 11 o'clock. I'm very much looking forward to that, Dr. Lyerly. Of course, in Georgia, the cases of those two women who died when they were seeking help because they were having problems with their pregnancies, the maternal health board in Georgia is the one who got that information, and now they have completely disbanded that board.
So yeah, they did that in Idaho, too. Same story.
We're gonna talk about that a little bit. We are going to have a little fun, though. I think starting off, Popcorn King has thoughts about how much people should be working.
Oh!
How much state employees, how many hours state employees should be working. He feels that they are not working enough. This is the man who is on month 9 of vacation.
Yeah, wait a minute. How much does he work?
He works for 2 months.
Oh. And how many years has that been happening?
Many, many, many years. And now apparently he is planning to run for another term as well. He was.
And wait, that's a full time job, right? With like benefits and a salary and a per diem.
Yes, it is considered a full time job. I believe they make over $50,000 a year, and it's a good gig if you can get it, man.
He also gets to travel on the state's dime all over the world. It's just it's a cushy gig if you can get one. And because we're talking about the Popcorn King, I would be remiss if I didn't play his theme music.
Yes. Popular.
I'll help you be popular. He just wants to be popular. He just wants to be cool. Good Wicked reference for the weekend too.
Oh yeah.
Good work. Way to pull in some timely things that are happening.
Yeah, seriously. Glickit did really well over the weekend.
Oh my
I know.
God.
I know you hate the
No.
You don't hate the term Glickit?
Oh, I just think it's forced. I think that Barbenheimer was fun and organic and people were like, yeah, but now Glickit just, well, first of all, it just sounds like something that happens to your ankle.
A medical condition?
Yeah,
a medical condition.
I can fix that.
Yes, you can. And just like Brangelina that came for fun. Every time a couple got together, you tried to make him a name. It's like, just stop. It's fine.
If it happens, like a nickname, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Like a nickname.
Dr. Lyerly, what is your... You are a smart individual. You have many, many pieces of paper on a wall behind you. What are your thoughts on giving yourself a nickname?
You can't give yourself a nickname.
There it is.
Thank you.
There it is.
Other people give you a nickname.
There it is.
And you might like it and you might not like it. But if you like it, you can amplify it.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And if you don't like it and try to suppress it, somebody else is going to amplify it.
For you. Yes, they are. Yeah, well, this all started when Elon Musk declared himself, what, dark gothic MAGA or something?
Yes.
And we told him, yeah, Elon, you can't give yourself a nickname. That's not how it works. So we opened it up to the audience, Dr. Lyerly, and Putz de Leon is the one that won.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
But you know how Elon works. He like tries to speak things into existence.
Yeah.
And he makes people believe like we'll all be doing self-driving cars by 2020. You know, and these things don't happen and people conveniently forget. And then he just moves on to the next, like, we are on Mars now kind of thing.
And that's the thing is every time I hear people attribute intellect to him, I don't think he is a dumb human being. But he did not invent self-driving cars or electric cars or space travel or satellites or the internet. He has the money to amplify their manufacturing and put a name on it and get people to like it. But he did not invent any of those things. So he's not as smart as you want to believe.
No, he's a hype guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is his
yeah.
big role. He's a hype guy with dollars.
Yep. Yep. Lots and lots and lots of dollars.
And then on top of that,
more dollars.
Yeah. So
pretty much.
Yeah. It's going to be, we're going to have a lot of fun with you, Dr. Lyerly, on the show, and we're looking forward to having you, as always, because you're just so great to have on and so informative.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Dr. Lyerly, every day we wrap up the show now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. It covers a wide, wide range. We're still narrowing down what today's tisbat will be,
mm-hmm.
but it might involve missing shoes.
Ooh.
I bet that as you're thinking about this segment and planning in advance, I bet that there is no lack of material out there for you to explore.
Oh, it's endless.
Yeah.
It really absolutely. Is. It is tragically kind of endless.
Well, I can't wait to hang out with you all.
Yeah.
You're on the air at 10. I'll see you at 11, a little after 11.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a wonderful morning, despite the fact that Pat wasn't with us. So, Pat, we hope you're feeling better.
Yeah.
I want to thank Jeff Mandel for being here. Greg, you are just such a wizard on the board. So thank you for running things and making it easy for me. Jane, always great to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Yeah, friends, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Who knows what's going to happen?
But thank you for tuning in to Civic Media Mornings with the incomparable Dr. Lyerly. Thank you so much for listening. Stick around. We got
news.
News and then Earl Ingram.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
It's Thanksgiving week, and I've got a special guest, Professor Bill Whitford, the named plaintiff in the Supreme Court gerrymandering case out of Wisconsin, joins us. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.